to Clay and Iron. I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD. And our tonight's program, we had a change of guests. We're going to have Mark Hazelwood talking about Planet X coming up perhaps in a week or two. But more importantly, we're about to launch a very important ride across America by Frosty Woolridge and his organization. And he has some amazing websites because we have events transpiring in America right now that could literally end the nation of America. And he's, like many of us patriots, are standing up and being counted and doing something that will be a signal, like the ride of Paul Revere that started the American Revolution. We want to have a new revolution in America that will turn back this terrible tide of illegal immigration and dismantling of America. Welcome to the program, Frosty Woolridge.
Thank you very much, Dr. Bill. It's a real pleasure to be with you.
Well, thanks. And I want you to start off right away with the website addresses so people can actually find and sign up and assist and join and do whatever they can, because as this ride goes across all 48 states, it's going to be important that people participate.
Yes, thank you. For each and every one of you American citizens who care about the future of this country, this 21st Century Paul Revere ride is going to reach out and meet citizens across the nation, tell their story, and also the biggest key is to create counter-critical mass of American citizens who are armed with information and literally the weapons, if you will, or the tools to turn the tide. And you can go to the website, www.21stcenturypaulrevereride.us. That's 21stcenturypaulrevereride.us, and you will see all the information, all the dates that will be in the capital cities across America, and the speaking moments, and of course we will be in about 500 newspaper interviews, we'll be on over 100 television shows, and of course radio broadcast interviews across the nation. And the key of this entire trip is you're going to meet just 7 riders, 2 women, 5 men, who are just like you, fed up, angry, frustrated, and yet these men and women are no different than Paul Revere. In the 1775, he was known as a connector and a maven, and he was also known as a salesperson. And if you read the book Malcolm Gladwell called The Tipping Point, in certain aspects of history, there has been tipping points, whether it's disease or whether it's the Romans conquered this or the Germans conquered that or Pizarro took over the Inca Empire. And in politics, such things as Susan B. Anthony have brought the vote for women. She was a tipping point. Dr. Martin Luther King brought civil rights, and he was a tipping point. And, of course, Thomas Jefferson brought us this great nation along with James Madison and John Adams, and Betsy Ross stitched that flag. And so what we are aiming and expect to do is create American citizens into critical mass by giving you, and you can actually get the action sheet on the website. There's about 13 items you can do. You may not do all of them, but you're going to become a part of an army of American citizens who are absolutely taking action instead of complaining, so that you become the solution and not the complaint. And, of course, the first action item on that list when you go to the website is to join numbersusa.com. I have belonged to Numbers now for almost 8 years, and it is now growing so fast, 50,000 members in the last 5 weeks, and sent in just last Wednesday 147,000 faxes just in one day. And these faxes are pre-written. You can just punch the button on your computer when you log in, and it's all for free, and you're a part of this avalanche of American citizens taking action. You could also become part of the phone banks of grandmas and grandpas and mothers and fathers that are calling in and steering these senators and House of Representatives toward what we demand, and that is literally adherence to the U.S. Constitution to stop this invasion, secure our borders, start the repatriation of illegal aliens by shutting down the employers of illegal aliens, and simply enforcing the laws of America. So this ride is going to give you a chance to speak up, stand up, and be heard. And, of course, I'll be writing for newswithviews.com, of course, which I write for all these 10 different kinds of news services. And you're going to be heard out there because I'm you, you're me, we're in this together. It's our country, and it's our children's future. So that's the excitement of the 21st Century Paul Revere ride.
Absolutely. And people need to stop complaining and start doing.
That's right.
That what's happening right now is literally the dismantling of America.
That's exactly right. the dismantling of America is exactly what's going on, and that's why we're doing this ride, and that's why we are standing up. Back in 1855, Mark Twain said that the patriot is a hated and scorned man, but when his cause succeeds, however, even the timid join him, for then it doesn't take much to be a patriot. And the big key here is we're going to have a tipping point, and it's already coming, and the Paul Revere ride is part of the tipping point, and that tipping point is to save this country, just like Paul Revere ride did back in that night of 1877 on April the 18th. He said, and he warned, the British are coming. And the people trusted him so much that they spread the word, and that first skirmish, the militia of the Americans actually beat back the redcoats of Britain and started the Civil War. And now we are going to do the same thing here in the early part of the 21st century, and we are going to stop and beat back this illegal immigration invasion of our country, and we're going to have these great patriots on this ride. My brother Howard, of course, will be on the ride, and he's the coordinator of it. I'll be out there in front riding with all these other patriots, and we're going to give each and every one of you the ability to stand up and speak out and change history. And I mean, we aim to change history, because we are not going to let these senators and or these House of Representatives be bought off any longer by the corporations. We're not going to let them slip by and get away with this. We are going to stand up in their faces. And again, we're going to create such public interest, such public counter-critical mass, that there's no way that this government's going to slip this thing by us.
Absolutely. This really, of all the events that are going on, and there's some ones that are, quote, theoretical, like the future avian flu and things that are pressing, like our troops being poisoned with DU and so on. But this is far more, this is immediate, this is right now. And the legislation that could be passed that luckily got sidelined today, that literally could be the end of death knell of America. It's like telling somebody who's already dying and bleeding to death that, hey, you're already dead, you just don't know it. In 2 minutes, you will be dead. And we've got to stop this hemorrhaging. What's going on right now is they've got this death through the ceiling. They have literally planned and plotted to dismantle and move our business and our industrial base to third world countries, and that are knocking down the walls. They're, you know, ready to transfer even highways that have been paid for by American citizens to the Trans-Texas Corridor or to the consortium of companies tied in with the King of Spain. I mean, this is ridiculous. And the illegal immigration will be a flood of hundreds of millions. Literally, that'll turn, like the movie V for Vendetta, America into a leper colony.
Essentially, that is exactly what is correct. Most Americans don't realize it, and you may not know my past, but I'm a teacher. I'm a former U.S. Army Medical Service Corps officer during the Vietnam War. Of course, that gives you my age, about 60 years of age now. And I have seen in my travels on six continents the consequences of third world diseases, third world crowding, third world misery, third world infant mortality, and third world entrenchment of the power elite over the lower classes. And what they do in those countries is keep those people at the bottom of the pile while they stay on top, and they don't care how bad the pile is as long as they're on top.
Absolutely.
And what you're seeing here in the United States right now, you're seeing the ruling elite, Bushes, the Cheneys, all that make millionaires, and they've never had to work a day in their lives. They've never had to do anything that was honest work. You're looking at all these senators and congresspersons who are up there, and they have formed a good old boys network, and they have been facilitating the insourcing and the outsourcing and the offshoring of our jobs through the H-1B, the H-2B, and the L-1 visas, and then we're left high and dry while they, of course, lay the borders completely wide open to not only terrorism, but invasion by illegal aliens, drug trafficking, sexual trade trafficking, you name it. And that is, and from my book, Immigration's Unarmed Invasion, Deadly Consequences, that's a part of what is called the Third World Momentum.
And if go ahead. Yeah, not only Mexico, but many other Central and South American countries are literally run as proxy narco states. Mm-hmm. By the DEA and CIA for the black ops projects and the illegal drug trade and trade in human flesh that's actually driving the dark shadow of the shadow government that's running America right now. And that's what's going on. That's why we have traitorous acts by our so-called president and the Congress and Senate that need to be stopped. And good members and politicians need to stand up and say, no, we don't have the $50 billion a year to back up this crazy plan.
That's exactly correct. And one of the things that you see going on is we're being colonized. You've got a country like Mexico that is one of the most corrupt in the Western Hemisphere, trashing its people left and right daily. The average wage is about $3.85 an hour, I believe, for a Mexican worker, and starving the people. And, of course, they're having so many children they can't even feed their children because they really don't have any understanding of population stabilization. And so they're then flooding north into this country. And, in fact, over 9.5 million illegal alien Mexicans are in our country now. And Vicente Fox, of course, sends them up here. So they send back around $20 billion per year, $60 billion all total from all immigrants combined, bleeding us while they take away the jobs from our working middle class, our working poor, who then go into the welfare lines. We pay for them. And at the same time, Vicente Fox has 56 Mexican consulates to aid and abet these illegal aliens to embed themselves into our country, changing our language, changing our culture, changing our disease situation into grave consequences, which I can go into.
You might as well go into it, because I think that's a big one. People have no idea the cost. I mean, the average person with resistant TB infects 36 to 50 plus people, and each one costs $250,000 just for 2 years of the drugs, let alone the other parts of the medical care.
That's correct, Dr. Bill. I'm a former U.S. Army Medical Service Corps officer. I know how diseases spread. I was a cardiac catheterization technician, and I have really got some very serious news for you. In the past 5 years, illegal as well as legal immigrants have brought 16,000 cases of Mycobacterium tuberculosis into the United States. This tuberculosis is multi-drug resistant. It kills 2 million around the world annually. And it's now flooding into this country. And the average illegal, your numbers are just about right on and corroborate mine, the average illegal will spread the disease, depending on public contact, to between 10 and 50 other American citizens. And we have almost 2 million illegal alien children in our schools. If their parents have tuberculosis, then they will most likely transfer to your children and our children. And we're looking at an epidemic of really gargantuan proportions, and it's just under the surface right now. As a matter of fact, I have a out of the Santa Barbara Press news here right in front of me, April the 24th. It's called Anatomy of an Outbreak, and this is Santa Barbara News Press of California, where, of course, there are 3 million illegal aliens and counting. One Mexican illegal migrant infected 56 others and had to be captured in quarantine to stop his passage through all of the area there in Santa Barbara. So that's,
yeah, they also end up a lot of time in food service or something else when often they have these diseases.
That's exactly correct. Go back to Pennsylvania, the Chi-Chi restaurants a couple years ago, and, of course, hepatitis was spread and killed 3, I believe, and over 1,000 had to get shots, I think gamma globulin shots or some other shots.
Yeah, I think, yeah, immune gamma globulin, yeah.
Yeah, and so you've got that. Also, in the last 3 years, according to Sharon Lerner in the New York Times, February 20th, we have 7,000 cases of leprosy have been imported into the United States.
And how many cases in the last number, you know, decades?
Oh, we only had 900 cases of leprosy in the last 40 years in the United States.
Right.
And those, of course, were from just illegal immigrants that had slipped through. And
right.
The problem with this leprosy, now known as Hansen's disease, of course, is that these illegals congregate in enclave. And, of course, think about where they work. They work in fast food. They work in hotels. They work in the restaurants. They work in schools. Their kids go to our schools. So, again, you and I are at risk. Also, in the last several years, tens of thousands of cases of hepatitis. We had an outbreak of it here in Colorado, at one of the Taco Bells, in fact, who had been hiring illegal aliens. And so hepatitis A, of course, is highly infectious. A real killer is, though, and it's really nasty, it's called Chagas disease, or Chagas, depending on if you want to pronounce
it. Yeah, Chagas spirochete parasite, which is
It's a
the primary cause of heart failure in South America.
That's right. 18 million people are affected by it, and it kills 50,000 per year. It's undetectable, and it's now coming across the borders from those in South and Central America.
Plus, also, it's not detectable in the blood supply, so when they donate blood, no one knows that they're donating Chagas.
That's exactly correct. 9 confirmed deaths, I think, last year alone, and you can expect more as these illegal aliens simply invade all the cities and the blood centers and all of the schools and so forth. There's dengue fever. There's Newcastle disease, which affects the chickens and kills chickens by the truckload. And so what you're seeing is a third world disease factor literally being impregnated into the United States because these people have very poor personal sanitation, very poor personal hygiene, and that makes all of us at risk.
Exactly. And people didn't stop the Black Death by having some magic drug centuries ago. They realized hygiene actually made the difference, and that's why they stopped the Black Death. The same thing will stop anything like a, quote, avian flu pandemic, which is public hygiene. And that's more important than vaccines or anything else.
Correct.
And personal host defenses. And this is a very dangerous thing because literally they live in filth, with filth, and have close contact with their animals, which is why in Asia it's a breeding ground for the jumping from one species to another of these very deadly viruses like the avian flu.
And I've traveled throughout China, and I can tell you the crowding and the people living with their animals and being around their animals all the time, it is a wonder they don't have cholera epidemics, or whether they have tuberculosis epidemics. Of course, they have SARS epidemics. They've got incredible AIDS epidemics just simply crashing through the China and India and certainly Bangladesh. And so that's what we have coming into this country, and that's why this disease factor is really a frightening, very sobering aspect of immigration. And one of the things that most people don't realize as they sit back and keep thinking that their senators and congressmen are going to protect them is that they have not been protecting. And as a matter of fact, just on the floor of the Senate here in the last half hour, that latest bill, SB 2611, which was going to give amnesty, ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Sessions of Alabama, the senator from Alabama, stated last week that 217 million people would be added to the United States within 20 years or 2026 if this bill passes. And then Charles Hurt of the Washington Times, another journalist whom I regard highly, said that we'll have 193 million. And about 3 weeks ago, I wrote a Consequences to the Guest Worker Program piece for News with Views, guesstimating from my figures of no less than 120 million in the next 20 years. So,
and that's positing that there's not global climatic changes that will cause further degradation of the third world, that there's not coastal changes caused by global melting of the ice caps, which will cause, of course, most of these extremely poor populations are in these countries, rather than trying to help them in their own country, which is far superior to help people in Mexico get rid of the narco terrorists. I mean, we invade countries like Iraq because they have a, quote, a terrorist. What about a narco-terrorist like Vicente Fox, whoever will be elected next? Why do we tolerate that?
Boy, you have really hit it on the nail on the head, Dr. Bill, because the narco-terrorists, of course, are causing us $128 billion a year of drugs being transferred over the border from Mexico and Vicente Fox into the hands of the 18th Street Gang, now numbering well over 20,000 in Los Angeles. And then, of course, they spread the drugs out to the MS-13 gangs, which are now operating well over 11,000 members in 33 states. When I wrote my book and doing the research, the El Salvadorian MS-13 gangs numbered only 8,000 just 3 years ago. And now they have jumped another 3,000 within almost 6 months of when I wrote the book and it published. And then I understand that they're up over 15,000 now, and they're the ones that do extortion. They have a slave trade.
They get into everything. They get into trade, human flesh, prostitution, everything.
Everything. And so, again, part of the third world momentum that we're facing in this country. So no question about it. We are facing a critical era, a critical moment in history where this country could either have the tipping point, go into complete anarchy and or the degrading of the United States into a third world country, or we could stand up, speak out, and do something and change it back to what it was originally intent to be, and that is a sovereign nation, a constitutional republic. run by the people. We, the people, not we, the corporations, not we, the president, not we, the senators, but we, the people. And the really important thing here is that each one of you get involved, and, of course, we'll be giving you that information today on how to make a difference.
Well, what's really going on, of course, is that the transition in the last 20 years has been from sovereign nations to even gutting even the international organizations like the United Nations, which is very hollow, because really the one that calls the policy are the transnational corporations that make the 45 largest economies on the planet. And because they've been given these corporate licenses to do whatever they want in any country, they can kind of move their capital, and which is why they want to have regional currencies so they can completely take over the world and dictate to the United Nations, which is just an external proxy, or the nations that they have to follow their policies or else, which is what's happening.
That's exactly what's happening, and what you're seeing is that we're becoming the corporate states of America instead of the United States of America, and these transnationals and multinationals have no regard for sovereignty of the United States. They have no regard for borders. They're simply moving for money and profits, and often obscene profits, much like third world dictators that simply have the choice of life and death on people one way or the other.
Yeah, and the other thing that's most dangerous is that they've now got their own armies. They have their own prostitution services. They have their own air forces. We're seeing the transfer literally of power from nation states to corporate states that are transnational and don't have geographic boundaries and are literally taking over in regional sections the entire world.
That is exactly correct, and I've seen it in my travels to on six continents now on my bicycle and certainly almost 100 countries. And if you think this is going to be a party, let me just give you an example. Third world leaders ignore a problem until it becomes irreversible and unsolvable. 50 years ago, China, India, Bangladesh all ignored their population problems. Mexico ignored. In fact, to give you an example, Mexico only had 50 million people in that country back in the last century starting, and then they jumped to over 104 million, and within the next 60, 70 years, they will jump another 100 million to well over 200 million. So if you think the line ends as far as migration of those who are coming here to do the work that Americans won't do, let me tell you, there's no end to the line. And in Bangladesh, for anyone who can appreciate this, there are 129 million people in a landmass the size of Arizona. And the average for life and death over there is 50% of the children die before the age of two.
Most of them die of diarrhea, too, don't they?
Diarrhea, dysentery. And, of course, every other kind of disease that you can imagine from the unhealthy, unclean.
Well, they're unwell, so they don't have host defenses, so things that wouldn't kill a child here will kill them over there because they have lots of nutritional deficiencies. The most common cause of blindness is just simply vitamin A deficiency, and just one, literally one shot of vitamin A will prevent blindness in most of the children in Africa.
Right. Again, those, and as you spoke earlier, Time magazine came out with that aspect of the global warming. And ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you it's no longer a theory. It's coming down, and it's going to be hitting and slamming into our children full force here in another 30, 40 years, well, if not sooner. Whether you thought Katrina was a big deal, what if you had 10 Katrinas every hurricane season? And that's the kind of violent unrest that the nature is now starting to respond. When I was in Antarctica, we used to have 200-mile-an-hour Herbies come through McMurdo there on Ross Island where I was. And the unfortunate thing is the ice caps are beginning to melt. And as Dr. Bill says, we could have the oceans rising 5, 10, 15, 20 feet as these ice caps keep melting. Certainly the Arctic is melting like crazy. And just anywhere, 5 to 10 feet of raising the oceans would create unbelievable havoc for most living communities and estuaries and any kind of living communities around the world. So then you start going into the environmental aspects of species extinction, desertification. We're losing right now 2,500 plants and animals to extinction in the lower 48 states every decade just because of human encroachment. And you have to ask yourself, how far can we go there? Here in Colorado, we added 1.3 million people in 10 years. We consumed 1.65 million acres of front range farmland. And by 2022, which is a heartbeat away, at the current rate of growth driven by immigration in Colorado, we will pave under 3.1 million acres of land, according to the Rocky Mountain News just last week, and I have the article right here. And I got to ask anybody out there, I'm an old farm boy, has anyone ever seen corn or wheat grow on asphalt?
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, what the plan of the globalists are doing is they want to eventually control all the seeds. They call them seeds of famine. I was actually told this by senior people inside with classified information that their plan is that they see in about 20 years that all the food will be grown in buildings 90 stories high, a quarter mile wide, and 2 miles long. That'll be grown like meat grown on rollers through genetic engineering, plants grown without trees, literally on beds of cellulose. We've fed through hydroponic genetic engineering, and these will be what I call frankenfoods. And we see the transformation of the food supply going to destroy our health, our minds, and our liberty. And this is all part, you destroy the environment, you also create environmental catastrophes for all these third world populations that will try to move to some place where they have some possible future. And so as the global climatic things happen, I don't think it will be 200 million, I think it will be more like a billion or more in the next 20 years. We're talking about a big catastrophe. We also see a world that's increasingly toxic, so that people's lifespans will be shortened and miserable.
There's no question about that, because we are toxifying the planet. When I traveled across the Adriatic Sea last summer on my bicycle trip from Norway to Athens, Greece, almost 4,000 miles, we saw garbage and trash. We now, if you look at the destruction of the oceans, Time magazine came out with a new one, and so did the PBS just last week. We have 72,000 chemicals that we're dispersing around the planet right now. And those chemicals, along with global warming, are changing the way the animals and the creatures out there operate. And reefs are dying. The sharks are... people can't believe this one, but it was reported by Life magazine almost just before Life went out of business. But it was just reported again in, I think it was in the Mother Jones News. 100 million sharks a year are killed around the planet right now. And those are the major predators of the oceans for tens of millions of years. Think about 100 million sharks killed, all for their shark fin soup. And then, of course, I think over 15 million dolphin have been killed in the last about 15 years. And Ridley turtles are going extinct. You name it. We're creating horrific consequences to the other creatures on the planet as we multiply. And the current growth rate of the current growth rate of humans right now is 6.5 billion on the planet, on its way, our way to 9.8 billion by 2050 is the high, a possible low of only 7.9 billion. But the damage is this. We're growing, the human race grows by 10,000 new babies net gain per hour, 240,000 per day, and over 85 million per year.
The solution is actually pretty simple. If you give people a decent life in their countries, find is exactly what happened in Japan and Germany.
And here.
The population stabilizes.
That's exactly right.
All you have to do. You don't have to have eugenics programs or anything else. People live longer, so you don't have to worry about paying for retired or people that are sick for decades.
Right.
You can switch to alternative energies, which we have all kinds of patents. I'm certain if they search through the patent office in the U.S., Britain, Canada, and all the Western nations, they'd find there's a technological answer to every single thing that's been suppressed by the corporate Borg, I call it.
Yeah, that's right.
Actually, completely trying to put us into a matrix, and they have a total attitude of, we don't want you to have access to advanced anti-aging technologies or free energy or other things, and the population could stabilize, and we could have a very minimal impact against the environment. And then if there are things like our solar heating of our planet or other things, we can start having technical answers to try to stabilize the world climate so it doesn't cause effects that we aren't doing, but are solar cycles that may be affected by other phenomena. But instead of approaching these things in a logical way, what we're doing is everybody is running around like chickens, and the governments are not doing anything. Like the U.S. government is actually embracing this so they can bring maximum chaos, so they can actually knock down the walls of America.
you really have a handle on this thing, and I would really bring it to American citizens, even in South America right now in Brazil. They're actually growing. It was on 60 Minutes last week. They're growing sugarcane, which is now the new fuel down there. It's literally displacing all of gasoline, and it's called flex car fleets. And Ford already has these things operating down there, and they're actually growing enough sugarcane to fill the gas tank.
Well, not just sugarcane. Look at hemp. You know,
exactly. Hemp.
There's actual statements by Henry Ford that said, look, he was actually growing hemp fields for his gasoline back in the 20s, and he knew that the oil companies were going to come after him through their political arms in the Congress and Senate.
That's exactly right. And not only that, I mean, my house is powered by wind power here in Denver, Colorado. We could easily have all the wind power and the solar power. You would think that instead of spending $300 billion trying to build up the country of Iraq and stick them through the ear with a democracy, which will never.
Yeah, you're going to put a democracy in a place that's had tyrants and strongmen for thousands of years? I don't think so.
Why? Yeah, so the question for me is, why didn't Bush simply worry about developing alternative fuel with $300 billion into the research programs over here, and we wouldn't even need the Middle East oil? We certainly wouldn't have to worry about trying to bring them any kind of anything. Let them do their own thing. As a matter of fact, Iraq has been having a successful form of life and government in their own way for thousands of years longer than we in the United States, and yet here is a man and now this country forcing a completely strange form of government on a theocracy, and it cannot and it will not.
Well, we've actually done it. When we went and took over Mossadegh, and Mossadegh wasn't going along with the oil companies back in the 50s, we went and eventually had him assassinated. And we did this with Iraq. We've balkanized the situation. Now we've got mosques blowing up, and I can guarantee all these bombs that are killing Iraqis are British SAS and special forces that are trying to create a dialectic of conflict so we can maintain maximum dialectic of conflict between these factions. And that's not right. And what we're doing is this meddling, which is CIA meddling that Kennedy tried to stop, is one of the reasons why they terminated him.
Oh, yes, I understood and appreciated. So what we face here, and you bring it out so eloquently, is this country must become, again, we the people. You
right.
must get involved, and that's why, of course, I...
Engagement. That's why the Paul Revere ride. What Paul Revere did, which is unique, is he was an average person, and he got people engaged because it only took a minority of people, once they were engaged, to stop the British and to create a new empire that didn't give allegiance to King George. And it wasn't
exactly
just about the taxes, because the taxes were small. It was no representation without tax, no taxation without representation. They knew that ultimately that the power should rest with the states. And then, of course, what they did is they gradually took away the power of the states and transferred to a federal authority. And, of course, now the federal authority is trying to take away the power even of the local marshals in all of the counties. And that's very dangerous.
Exactly. And so... The key here is that Americans have let slip through their fingers this constitutional republic in the last, at least for the last 30 to 40 years that I know of, because only 50% of us vote in national elections, and only 10% of us or less vote in local elections. And so now you have rise given to the corporate interests who buy off these senators and these House of Representatives persons, and we are now the people who are becoming the victims of our own apathy of this great government. And one thing I would ask you all to appreciate about the United States Constitution, it is one of the most, if not the most brilliant pieces of paper of legislation of governance in the world, but it requires four very serious aspects. Number one, a Republican form of government requires that it has a highly educated population that thinks and extrapolates and then moves and takes action. So we absolutely need that and have had that.
Yeah, you have to have an engaged public. You can't just have a piece of paper.
Right. You have to have an engaged public. Number two, you have to have a population in this kind of government that has a similar moral code. everyone buys into the same moral code.
Right, so if you have a corrupt government, it won't work. In other words, the corrupt people that come in from third world countries that live in a state of corruption in their narco-terrorist states, whether it's Guatemala or Mexico or somewhere, or Ecuador, if they come in here from a state of corruption, they're going to corrupt our culture, and the constitutional republic cannot function.
That's exactly correct. And number three, you have to have an ethical system by which everyone buys into it. They all stop at the stop sign. They all pay their taxes. They all are honest. They don't shoplift. They don't commit anarchy, and that they all buy into what is the United States. In fact, Thomas Jefferson once said that a country is really a person, and that the person who carries the morals, the ethics, and the solemn investment is what the country becomes.
Right.
And, of course, if you lose that third aspect of an ethical system, then you lose the person. And, of course, you lose the country. And number four, the most important, one of the most, and part of the four aspects of this constitutional republic is that we speak the same language so that we can discuss and debate and then come to resolution that which affects all of us. And if you have multiple languages arguing, you have conflict, confusion, and then violence, and you're seeing all four of these things now manifesting throughout the United States because we have been overloaded with too many immigrants, both legal and illegal. And in fact, I've said this many times, when the rate of immigration exceeds the rate of assimilation, it is a recipe for the breakdown of any civilization.
Sounds familiar to what happened to the fall of the Roman Empire.
You know, and let me just kind of illustrate that a little more closely. In 375 A.D., Emperor Valens opened up the Roman Empire to immigration from the Goths. And I'm not kidding you. The Goths, of course, were not Romans, didn't care about the Romans, but they had plenty big numbers. And the Romans had gotten fat, sassy, and pretty arrogant. And within, from about 476, it only took 100 years, 476 A.D., Rome became a historical footnote. And the United States right now opened its gates in 1965 with the Teddy Kennedy Immigration Reform Act. Millions have been pouring in. We have grown from 194 million people in 1964 to just about 300 million by October of this year. In other words, 106 million people have been added to the United States in just 40 years. And we're all going to pay the kinds of consequences and crises of that invasion, because if this guest worker program goes through, you're looking at another 200 million immigrants within 20 years, and it's almost a sure bet that America will be laid alongside the grave of Rome and be a partner with the Roman Empire, and the United States, of course, will become just another historical footnote, and what was will no longer be.
Well, they've turned America, and I think this is the plan, it has been going on for decades or longer, centuries, to make America the broodmare whore for the birth of the New World Disorder.
And yes, and one of the things about this New World Order is that you have to be, it's the greatest degrading of what we now call the middle class. You cannot have a middle class in the New World Order. You can only have a low class, because you cannot bring the third world classes up to the standards and the living conditions of the middle class of America. It's not possible.
No.
Not now, not in the future. So what it does is degrade America's standard of living and quality of life to that of the third world. And then you have those with the money who are bringing this vast experiment upon the American public and other first world countries into the trash heap of living, in the trash heap of consequences. And so,
well, yeah, what they want to do is create a caste, a genotechnical caste society,
right,
with multiple castes, with both those who are living in a very toxic world that are the remnant of what's left of the population as a slave class in a 21st century feudalistic global state that are operating for and by the corporations for their benefit only. And, of course, the people who are the elite, who actually run and own the corporations that dictate to the governments or the, quote, global organizations like the United Nations are just basically lip service so that the corporations give the people some form of dialogue, but it's actually powerless because the corporations are actually running everything.
That's exactly correct. The corporations are calling all the shots. For any of you who have read The Brave New World by Aldous Huxley, I see the similarities. Those in power stay in power, and they create the alphas, the betas, and the gammas, and you simply fill your slot to do what you do, and then you don't really have a choice anymore because you're already genetically programmed. And that's not that far off because
that's where we're going.
We're cloning right now.
Well, they succeeded, actually. I know this is classified, but I release it as classified information all the time when it's relevant to the public. The United States and Russia were doing these experiments back for many, many years, since before the 60s, and they succeeded in 1982 at the Moscow Institute for Biological Research in cloning human beings using Russian women to actually host the embryos. And these things are very nasty because their eventual plan, if you attend an NBIC conference and look at the government documents, and I posted some, their intention is to make a super soldier that is a genetically engineered, genetically modified human that has genes imported from jackals to make them super strong, brain implant chips, and brain control neurotechnology so they can see what they see, hear what they hear, and control them just like the movie, you know, Star Trek First Contact. This is really what they plan, and they really want to make a cyborg soldier and a cyborg citizen. That's what their plan is. And it's very, very deadly. I mean, people might say this is sci-fi and it's not really happening. I'm sorry. Even our Air Force and our combat troops in the next decades will be replaced by remote mech warriors, remote Air Force. We have remote Air Force vehicles right now that are flown from a special facility in Atlanta that are actually flying operational attacks in Iraq and Afghanistan, have been for the last number of years, from 6,000 plus miles away. And the Japanese and Americans are working together very feverishly at these advanced mech warriors that are remote combat vehicles that can be run and controlled from computer control centers hundreds or even thousands of miles away. Very, very nasty. And we need to realize that that's what they want to do. They want to have robotic policemen. They want to put a chip in everything that you eat and put a chip in you. They can track you. They want the intranet, basically, to do computer-to-computer transfer of information, so very little of the total data stream is actually going to be humans accessing the, quote, supranet. It'll be machines and everything from your refrigerator being accessed by the grocery store to the police monitoring everything you eat to artificial intelligence computers, which they've been using for years, monitoring everyone and profiling everyone in an instant holographic basis. That's what they're doing. And it's not something for the future. It's something that they is just sneaking out now, like the president's comments about wiretapping and this new proposed leader of the director of the CIA, General Hayden. In fact, what backing him up, this guy is just saying what they've been doing all along for decades through the Echelon Project and Falcon Air Force Base right there in Colorado.
Exactly, and of course, all of us get to be the victims of this situation.
Yeah, they want to know everything at all times. They want to know that you've got a set of Gillette razor blades in your bag that's exactly 1.3 feet from your right ankle while you're driving along the car at 70 miles an hour. They want everything. They can actually aim a gun at you at 300 or 400 yards away and tell not only what currency you have, because every single bit of money has a chip in it, not only an ultraviolet wire in it, but it's got a responsive chip that will respond to an ELF pulse and pulse back the amount and type of currency and the exact issue dates. Those are already present right now, that technology, I know.
It takes your breath away. It creates a very sobering look into the future. And
it does, and we can stop it because, you see, it only requires a tiny minority of people to say, you know, these technologies, like a scalpel, can be used to heal or to kill. It could be used to extend human lifespan for hundreds of years so we have a wise elderly population that's fit and able to beat their great-grandchildren in tennis or drive motorcycles across the country, or to create a matrix of hell where people live only 20 or 30 years where they created a slave culture, and the elite literally turned the earth into, quote, gardens and parks for their game reserves. And that's very deadly. I mean, the reason why we have the species of carrying capacity of the earth is only because the elite don't want to use non-environmentally impacting technology. They want to make sure they use the maximum environmentally impacting technology so they can justify calling the population to create a new slave class, of because most of what they want done now, they don't need most of us. They want to use robotics and nanotechnologies.
And, of course, all of us get to be the guinea pigs for this. And
of course.
That is one of the reasons that we are, again, those of us who are aware of this thing are standing up and speaking out. The one thing that really gives me great hope here in a very sobering situation is that radio announcers across the nation are now standing to the fore.
Yeah, it's time now to have civil disobedience.
It's time now
to have states like West Virginia say we are not going to participate in the state driver's license, which is an invasion of states' rights by the federal government, which is a constitutional violation.
And you can also add Georgia in there. Georgia just passed, with Sonny Perdue, the governor of Georgia, just passed a 9-point anti-illegal alien bill that absolutely is second to none. And so the key here is men like D.A. King, certainly Barbara Coe out in California, and other great activists across the nation are stepping up, stepping in. And that's what is needed. Ladies and gentlemen, the other thing that's needed is your participation.
Yeah, let's give the websites and the other information before we close off this program, Frosty, because it's important that people get engaged. It's important that they realize the country only exists if they breathe life into it by putting their property, their voice, and their life on the line, because the price of, you know, I like the word, it shouldn't be called freedom, it should be very expensive. Should be another word for it, because freedom definitely isn't free.
It's not free, and one of the things that Thomas Jefferson said, and I quote, "Dissent is the highest form of patriotism," unquote. And I regard that man as he's the Leonardo da Vinci of government. He was a brilliant man, along with James Madison and John Adams, of course, that began this country. My website is frostywooldridge.com, FrostyWooldridge.com. www.21stcenturypaulrevereride.us for those of you who want to become part of the Paul Revere Ride, and www.numbersusa.com. That's numbersusa.com. Become a member of Numbers, and it's for free. You can fax in the pre-written letters. If you don't have much time, I'll bet you got 3 minutes, because all it takes once a week is to punch in, go to Numbers, see the faxes to punch in, punch the button and okay it. Your name goes on the fax, gets sent right into your senator or your congressman or the
right,
president.
That's numbersusa.com, right?
That's correct. And you will become part of over 1.5 million faxes per month now that are actually forcing these senators and these House members to do the bidding of you.
Right, because they multiply however number of fax or emails they get by a multiple of something like 50. In order to figure out how it's influencing them in terms of the future vote. No matter what they do, even if they control some of the vote counting machines like Diebold, they have to respond to a public that's saying that we will not support you in these policies.
That's exactly correct. And so the key here is participation. Conviction without action is worthless. However,
right.
Conviction tied to action changes history.
Absolutely.
That's the key here.
Absolutely. And, of course, there are solutions. The solution is, number one, we must demand environmental and safe work conditions and the introduction of technologies like Don Carlson's Sonic Bloom to help with food in the third world. These energy-saving technologies should be spread around the world to these other countries so that their living conditions will improve, and they want to stay in their own country. They want to improve their country. And I say the solution to the population and the environmental problems is the tearing down of the corporate power of the corporate Borg. The corporations are the disease. They are the, if you want to have a diagnosis, Earth. The problem with Earth right now is the Luciferian organizations that are linked directly to the transnational corporations, and their agenda is a death culture. And we need to take away the corporate power and start opening the floodgate of technologies that we can use to solve these all these issues so that we don't have massive population migrations, because they have to knock down nation states to create a global matrix. If there are sovereign nation states, you cannot create a global matrix.
Exactly. And one thing you do not want to become as part of this experiment, if you look back when Karl Marx wrote the Communist Manifesto, it got put into play by men like Lenin and Stalin. And obviously we all know what that particular theory did, and it went against human nature.
Well, we can see a concrete example with the World Trade Organization. They're going to tell Italians how to make lasagna. They're going to tell the Koreans that they have to use genetically modified materials, and everybody has to accept poisons and pesticides that were already banned by nations that already knew that these were dangerous. So they can't refuse irradiated food that's only good for dead people.
That's exactly right. It's the same reason that the United States still produces DDT and sells it to third world countries like South America, where it's still in use. I saw it. I smelled it. I was down there in the middle of it, and yet it's banned in this country because we know how deadly it is. But it shows you how immoral, how unethical these multinational corporations are. It is absolutely unconscionable what they do, and yet they do it. And they'll do it to you just as much as they'll do it to anybody else, as long as they can get away with it. And so the key here is that we stand up now before they get entrenched in their power and their ability to make us literally their slaves and or simply their minions. And I really, that's why I ask you to stand forth right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to see a new doctrine arise in the U.S. government. If any corporation anywhere affects people negatively, then we take a preemptive right to strip their property, their power, and freeze their accounts in America or any other nation that we do trade with. And that would put a stop to the corporate Borg running everything, because all these policies are coming down from all these other, it appears, nations, or even the United Nations, happens because the corporations decided, just like they made decisions to go to war in Iraq, which is totally bogus. And then they try to say, well, we think the weapons of mass destruction are there. Well, the reason why they thought there were weapons is because I personally saw the delivery slip to the University of Baghdad for our type cultured lab, Clostridium perfringens botulinum, and the Ames, Iowa strain of anthrax, as well as other technologies, including technologies to be able to centrifuge and create uranium for nuclear reactors and bombs. All of these things are proliferated on purpose because the dialectic of war and conflict is part of their game in order to gain more power and more reason to be able to invade and take over and get more corporate profits.
That's exactly right. And so this thing looks and is bleak at the outset.
Yeah, it could be solved. It could be solved overnight.
And absolutely the key is we change history by our individual action. And I, again,
well, we could have a president who declares that literally he's going to close the border without building a fence. Mm-hmm. You simply put enough troops down there and you just stop it. And then you start enforcing the existing laws. You don't need to create new ones.
That's right.
That employers that hire illegal aliens. And then you go and you send in an expeditionary force. You take out the narco-terrorist government and clean out the drug trade, which is feeding our corporations and our own, quote, government agencies like the DEA, the CIA, et cetera, the DIA, that are actually involved, unfortunately, in a very symbiotic relationship with the narco-terrorist organizations, and stop the flow of black-off money that's coming into these weird damn projects that has no business not being under the scrutiny of the Congress and the Senate. There should not be a dollar spent in the United States of America or any of our affiliates unless it goes under the scrutiny of our government in a public forum. And when this happens and there's black-op money coming in through these corporations and are now prostituted agencies to these above-government transnational corporations and the elite, we have a complete abrogation of the power of our nation. And that's where, you know, the final, you know, the vote really is the vote of the dollar. And when they can do this, they take away the power even of our Congress and Senate.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's very important. So when is your ride start, Frosty?
Yes, on May the 29th in Denver, Colorado. Seven riders will be moving out of Denver along with probably 1,000 other bikes, and then fanning north toward Wyoming and Cheyenne and rallies at five media stops every day.
This is going to be amazing. I mean,
oh, it is, this thing is amazing. We've got thousands of motorcyclists joining us, 10,000 in Massachusetts, 5,000 down on the board. We'll have 5,000 easily at the Crawford, Texas ranch there for the President of the United States to let us. We're going to let him know we're here. And it's amazing, if his ranch was as invaded as the ranches on the borders there in Arizona, this thing would be over in a heartbeat. If all these illegals were crossing over Teddy Kennedy's, you know, Massachusetts, Hyannisport compound there and stealing his cars and so forth, it would be over. And so we're going to be really bringing this thing to the leaders, and you're going to see us in all of the 48 states. And please go to the website, 21stCenturyPaulRevereRide.us. If you have any questions, email me at my website, FrostyWooldridge.com. For those of you who want to help, please go to my brother Howard, and phone number is 817-975-1110, and help organize or tell him what you're doing, and he'll organize and tell you when we're coming into a particular state and or city so that you can have 1,000 bikes or 5,000 bikes ready to ride with us and literally create pageantry and create drama and create color, have those bikes loaded with American flags. And the key is, the more of us, the greater the coverage by all the major networks. And you can imagine, we're going to be on the road for 2.5 months, so we're going to create an unbelievable media sensation, and it's going to grow, and it's going to empower American citizens. So thank you, Dr. Bill, for getting
Well, I really
out.
Appreciate it. For us, you're a hero, and definitely a Paul Revere. And if people engage, and we will have a future. And whether you're listening in America or around the world, you need to pray for America. From whatever religious or faith background you have to pray for the intention that we succeed, because if America fails, it's basically the last protector of the rights of everyone on earth. Now, America has done some wrong things lately under the aegis of a president and a junta that's out of control, but America also is the purveyor of good and the only one that actually has the capacity to turn the tide against the New World Matrix that's coming very quickly on every nation. And we're talking about world IDs and things like that that are going to be absolutely horrendous. Forced vaccinations, genetically modified food, toxins everywhere, you know, just absolutely evil things. And this ride is one of the most important things, I believe, in the 21st century. It'll be a turning point and a rebirth of America if it's heeded properly. And if it's not, people don't engage, then we're going to see the death knell of America if they continue to push forward and destroy this nation by literally allowing and encouraging an invasion is what we have.
That's exactly correct. Dr. Bill, thank you very much. It's an honor and a pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, thank you, Frosty, and good luck on your trip. We'll be praying for you, and we'll be supporting you every time. And if you get a chance, do call, and we'll see if we can do some further shows while you're on your trip, because this is going to be, I consider, the most important single event of 2006 as we head toward the next elections. We cannot put up with another, how can I say it, corporate sellout, Democrat or Republican. Take care, Frosty, and thank you, everyone, and
thank you
BBS Radio, Don and Doug, for your support. And everyone, do stay tuned. We'll be some other amazing guests. And take care and take action. There are no silent heroes.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.